Rabies is an extremely fatal viral disease affecting the central nervous system, caused by the highly neurotrophic rabies virus. This virus is mainly transmitted via contaminated saliva of infected animals through bites, scratches, wounds, mucosal exposure, and rarely through transplanted neurologic tissues, such as cornea. Rabies can be transmitted by a wide range of animals. Major ones include canines, like dogs and foxes, cats, bats, raccoons, or any other kind of mammal. Rabies is a bullet-shaped virion that belongs to the family of rhabdoviridae and genus Lyssa virus. It contains a single-stranded RNA nucleocapsid core. The virus is able to evade immune surveillance by sequestration in the nervous system.
Van de lentekriebels, hebben jullie dat ook op school?
Ja.
Wat heb je daarover geleerd?
Een beetje over je lichaam en ook over jongens en over meisjes.
Okay. Vind je dat leuke lessen?
Ja.
Watch this video before it serve as the architects of your desires, bridging the realms of energy and physicality. This principle, unwavering and timeless, remains a universal law guiding the course of existence. When outcomes fall short, it's not the principle itself at fault. Rather, it's the lack of adherence to its principles. The remedy is straightforward. Define your objective clearly, infuse it with unwavering belief, and embrace the unseen with a conviction that leaves no room for doubt. Allow your faith to permeate every fiber of your being. Additionally, maintain a steadfast expectation, knowing that your desired outcome is already in motion. These steadfast principles, when applied diligently, unfailingly yield results. For the first ritual, gather 7 cloves, the small red ones. Hold them in your right hand and repeat the affirmation, "These cloves attract abundance into my life." Say this affirmation 7 times as you place each clove into your right hand. While reciting the affirmation, visualize in your heart how abundance is flowing into your life. Picture your bank account expanding and feel the weight of abundance it brings in your hands.
And Christian Democrat Green on the outside.
Experience a sense of peace and contentment as you visualize these scenes. Now envision imbuing these cloves with strong positive energy. Gently place them in your wallet alongside your money. By doing so, you're allowing the good energy of the cloves to blend with your financial world, infusing positivity into your finances. Remember, these cloves not only enhance what you have, but also bring positive outcomes to those you share with. This step is crucial for maximizing the benefits of this ritual.
If I went to church, I've been to church for 30 years, but if I went and I took confession, and we went to communion together, at redemption, that'd be great.
Following the way of Christ?
Not exactly, I mean in my heart. Yes, but I've done a lot of, carnal sins, and I've drunk a lot of alcohol, done some drugs. I kind of weaseled around a lot in my life, I was trying to get the edge all the time, but basically, I would say that I'm a good-hearted person. I haven't really done anything malicious in my life. I haven't done anything really very great in my life either, I've tried to do some things, tried to find some truth.
Just repent. Change your ways.
That's going to be a little tough.
Kok, bereid ons eenmaal. Ik heb te weinig vlees, heren.
Oh ja? En dit? Wat is dit dan?
Champignons.
Prevalent in today's secular rock music. We don't have to search for hidden words and backmasking to hear the devil's influence in today's pop sounds. We've got people paying to hear groups like Black Sabbath, Slayer, with their album titled Hell Awaits, Venom, who titled an album Welcome to Hell, and Demon, who titled an album Possessed. The fact is that you never hear these secular rock groups denounce Buddha or Muhammad. They're only against Jesus or anti-Christ. So don't you be deceived by their demon-praising, money-making tactics.
Warning signs of satanic behavior may be apparent, such as a sudden, bitterly antagonistic attitude towards family and religion, a drastic decline in academic performance, a reclusive behavior pattern, and listening exclusively to heavy metal rock music.
Zij zegt dat incest een verslaving is en dat zij seksueel zijn misbruikt door familieleden.
Dat wat met dat meisje gebeurd is in de Betuwe, dat moet wel het gruwelijkste geval zijn wat er ooit aan het licht is gekomen op dit gebied.
Daarna besloten enkele wetenschappers, bezorgd om de onsterfelijkheid, de inhoud van hun eigen hersenen over te hevelen in een siliconen geheugen van een computer. De grootste geleerden, maar ook personen zonder gevoel, bestemd voor de ondergeschikte taken. Men was bezig met het programmeren van vogelmensen en vismensen toen door een fout of door boos opzet van de programmeurs een opstand uitbrak onder leiding van de eerzuchtigen. Ze waren op macht belust en wilden regeren. Daarna besloten enkele wetenschappers, bezorgd om de onsterfelijkheid, de inhoud van hun eigen hersenen over te hevelen in een siliconen geheugen van een computer. De machine moest het eeuwige lichaam zijn voor hun eeuwige geest. Jullie hebben vast horen spreken over de grote computer. Die heeft uiteindelijk zelf de vraag beantwoord. Aan grootheidswaanzin leidend dacht hij dat hij de incarnatie van de wijsheid was, verheven boven hen die je maakte. En moest toen tegen hem vechten om hem los te koppelen, te vernietigen. En wij, het stervelingen, die vandaag het grootste avontuur van de historie beginnen. En ieder van ons kan zich, indien het nodig is, en dankzij de implanting in de hersenen van een bionische flow, in verbinding stellen met alle kennis van het heelal.
Welcome back, Inspector. You should be more careful.
I'll kill you, you son!
The big deals you're involved in, why do you still bother with the stores?
It's a question of prestige. The big money makers, they pay big money. That's justice.
That's keeping the public order. I'm like a government.
It's the same old story. Violence and more violence.
You often use these decoy agents, Inspector? You're feeding these men to the underworld. Do you think that's right, Inspector?
You're surrounded now. Give yourselves up. There's no way to escape. Come on out. Be sensible. Why make your situation worse? Surrender!
Give me a car, and fast!
Think of the lives we're endangering.
I see that. You would like to avoid it. I admire your bravery.
As often as your missions are successful, the net results include two or three cadavers butchered beyond recognition.
Where's BB?
He's screwing your mother.
When you were tested for the special squad, every test revealed that your traits are criminal. What I can't explain is why you two, with your characteristics, applied for the police at all.
Massief Eikenhout, die de hele dag staat te lasteren en te rosselen, roddelen die denken buiten spel te blijven. Denkt u echt? Straks komt de grote afrekening. Dan blijkt dat heel anders. Want als we dat niet afleren, kunnen we ons nooit een volgeling van Jezus Christus noemen zelfs. Laat staan dat het zijn. Er kunnen heel wat mensen zonder huis dan. Die voelen zich nu ook aangesproken. Die moeten opnieuw beginnen. Met je roddel en je laster. Fromme sausjes. En dan praat ik niet alleen tot een bepaalde soort mensen. Ik praat door alles heen. Iemand die lastert, zal Gods koninkrijk niet beërven. En de vrome lasten is wel de meest mogelijke. Dan is Gods geest er helemaal niet meer bij. Ik heb het tegen jou.
You understand?
Newcomers bust on the ball.
Send me here to make a deal. Had to play at target practice.
The operation was successful.
With unnecessary violence.
I find your methods extremely embarrassing. I don't know any of
this.
You
can't
play your little tough games
with me. Zodra ze wat vinden aan ander, gaat het deksel eraf en is
no different from any other.
Bij diarree is er sprake van frequente passage van dunne, waterige ontlasting.
Laster, oordeel.
Diarree kun je definiëren als absolute en relatieve diarree. Bij absolute diarree is er sprake van meer dan 5 keer ontlasting per dag. Bij relatieve diarree heb je vaker dan normaal ontlasting. Diarree kun je op basis van de ernst ervan onderverdelen in acute diarree en chronische diarree. Acute diarree duurt normaal gesproken een dag of 2 en gaat vanzelf over.
Deal of force than under normal circumstances. Now let me show you why this is important to know for you folk singing enthusiasts. Dr. Bryan Jr. says this, quote, sometimes a well-known folk song's tempo will be changed to the same beat as the normal pulse beat, which makes it more effective for induction. And he's talking about induction into hypnosis. These communist folk singers on our college campuses are beating their folk music. I have nothing against folk music per se, just when the communists use it for their own end. They're beating the folk song and the folk music at the pulse rate of our university and college students. And when they sing their Marxist ditties, these college students are picking up these ditties with a greater deal of force than under normal circumstances. A very scientific procedure, by the way. Now look, most of you adults here tonight, you older people at least, have a pulse rate someplace in the 60s. This is general, this is average. You students here, in the 70s. But this record was beat for kindergarten students. And their pulse rate happens to be in the 80s. And this record was beat at approximately 82 beats per minute. Now let's see what some of the doctors have said in their analyzation of some of these communist records. The first I will quote is Dr. Granville F. Knight from Santa Monica, California. Quote,
what the fuck is your problem?
I just woke up, okay? I don't need to deal with that as soon as I've gotten...
You can't deal?
Yeah.
Well, deal with this motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you're dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
We find that Satan has blasphemy masked into the albums when you play them backwards. There's many times that he could not say these things forward, so he sneakily hides it in the music. And when you play it backwards, which very few people would ever do, you find out what the true lyrics are. Let's play ELO's El Dorado first. Let's play that forward. ELO, Electric Light Orchestra.
Don't listen to him. We'll all be slaughtered. If you live, it won't be here. And it won't be by your heart. If we want to survive, we can't hide. Brothers and sisters, it is time to fight. Al's dead.
We'll see if eternal life is meant to be. Now if I play that exact segment backwards, you're going to find out what Satan's real message is. Now he doesn't care what the youth hear forward as long as they get his backward message. Now listen for He's the Nasty One, Christ You're Infernal. I wondered what infernal meant, so I looked in the Webster's and it means inferior, abominable, and inhuman. Christ You're inferior. You're abominable. You're inhuman. Oh, it is said, it goes on, we're dead men. Then the last part is sort of garbled, but it says something like, everyone who has the mark on him lives. Let's listen to that right now. He's the nasty one. Christ, you're infernal. Let's play El Dorado backwards. This is El Dorado. He's the nasty one. Do we have another cut of that one? Can you let that keep going and see if we have any more of that? And Satan right now is deceiving you and programming you to follow him to the ends of the earth. He's using the rock groups as his patsies to evangelize the youth of the world. There's a group called Styx. I'd like to put their slide up right now, S-T-Y-X. Their album cover has the name The Grand Illusion, and I think that's exactly what he's doing, a grand illusion upon the young people of America. The word Styx, I looked it up in the Webster's. It literally means the hateful. Styx was the legendary river encircling Hades, or hell, over which Charon ferried the souls of the dead. Real nice name for a group to have, Styx, the legendary river of hell. I wonder if this group knows they're praying to Satan in their song Snowblind on this album. Well, it's on a different album, on the Paradise Theater album. On this particular album, the song Snowblind, which a lot of people means, they think it means snorting coke until you become blinded and in bondage to it. Actually, coke is sometimes called snow, and snorting coke will not only totally blast out your nostrils, but it could bring blindness. And let me play that song right now called Snowblind from the Styx album, Paradise Theater. Let's play that.
You see? Oh, do you see what they're trying to do?
Blind. How'd I ever get into this mess? You know what I don't think that group knows? I don't think that Styx realizes that in this song they are praying Satan move.
I was Jim Jones' attorney. I said, when did you find out he was not the man of God that he was billed to be? He said, when I visited Jonestown. When I walked in his so-called church, he said there was no Bible. There were no holy pictures. There was no cross. Nothing. And I looked him right in the eye and I said to him, why is it there's no Bible? And there's no place to pray? He said, we don't need that anymore. And he says, I am no longer your attorney. You no longer need me. And he walked out of there. When Representative Ryan flew into Guyana, the first man he called was Sir Lionel Akou and asked him to fly with him to Jonestown. He said, God will not let me.
America. My name is Katie Britt, and I have the honor of serving the people of the great state of Alabama in the United States Senate.
I was Jim for following a man, and I am going to let every one of you that are here under this tent, you that are listening to this radio broadcast, my God, don't follow a man. Don't follow a church. If you're going to follow somebody, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. The devil is out to destroy every child of God that he can find. Can you shout amen, somebody?
Dit is geen uitzending van Glorie der Mensheid.
Vreest niet en wees te nemen. Het is geen uitzending van Glorie der Mensheid.
Vreest niet en wees te nemen. Het is geen uitzending van Glorie der Mensheid.
We'll be right back. We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in civil defense measures as requested by the government. This is a radio alert. Normal broadcasting will now be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas on your regular radio receiver. I repeat, normal broadcasting will be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas on your regular radio receiver.
Dit nummer 035
83
88.
Gaat en onderwijst alle volken.
Thank you.
episode 357 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of March 16th through March 22nd, 2024. A note from last week. Julian Langer did not talk about having 2 degrees. The host of the site who posted a piece by him was the one who had 2 degrees and who had worked with the IWW. We have now spent far too much time on and aside. Moving on! What's new this week? Constellation, an anarchist festival in Montreal, May 24th through 26th, 2024. Too many goddamn 20s in there. From Anon. Ooh. So the group that usually organizes the Montreal Book Fair has said they're not doing one this year because they're so sad, which opens the opportunity for a new group to do an event, and this is announcing that new event. Quote, "So, we propose an experiment, and perhaps the start of a new tradition. We call on the wider anarchist community to help create something that doesn't rely on just one institution. Constellation will be a decentralized series of events that will include tabling at the usual book fair location in Little Burgundy, as well as workshops, games, an anti-conference, a dance party, and other new, weird, fun shit you'll have to come check out for yourself." Unquote. Reminiscent of both a counter book fair one year in San Francisco when the official site was in the Armory, but there were other people tabling at various walkable locations in the Mission, and also of the 8 Days of Anarchy that happened for a few years in the Bay Area, where each day was a different anarchist event, from a derive to game night at Gilman or the Long Haul, to movies, and of course, attending the Long Haul Anarchist Reading Group. This is a great idea, and I can't wait to hear more about it as things become more concrete. That was Constellation, May 24 to 26.
A May Day in Paris. Is it the correct pronunciation? From Freedom News UK by Fontaine. A Brit gives us a report back and some analysis about May Day 2023 in Paris, France. Very pro-Black Bloc, which did a lot of damage and also took care of its members. The article emphasizes the importance of the sympathy for the Black Bloc among the thousands of non-Black Blockers in the streets. Quote, "Most important, perhaps, is the role of the bystander in all of this. The Black Bloc, though in this case thousands strong, is nothing compared to the 550,000 protesters in Paris, according to CGT union organizers. In many cases, these vast crowds act as a human shield, preventing the police from quickly responding to the Black Bloc to make arrests." Unquote. As with many pieces about French anarchists, this one does not address the difference that a significant economic safety net can make in people's ability and interest in being in the streets. But it does make the French Black Bloc sound awesome.
Letter from anarchist prisoner Jorge Yorch Esquivel from It's Going Down. A letter from him delineating how he is getting support from letters, drawings, food, books, visits, etc., and how that support enables him to continue resisting inside. Quote, "Also, the food that various collectives and individuals sent to me by way of the visits, like that delicious honey that was sent to me. Also, the nutritious greens and vegetables that come from the floating gardens of Xochimilco. This reminds me of a time a few months ago when I shared some quelites, wild edible herbs such as amaranth greens, that I had cooked with another prisoner who had been in here for a long time. When he ate the quelites, it reminded him of the community he is from. That made me feel good because it's one of those little things that I wasn't really aware of when I was on the outside. These kinds of things have allowed me to resist during this time inside." Unquote. Shh. Don't tell the guards.
Guadalajara. Black Spring Anarchist Apocalypse Days, April 26th through 28th. From La Terca on Facebook. La Terca is apparently an autonomous space, at least if you believe the Facebook page. Don't know why you would do that, but whatever. Quote, "One way we choose to reunite with other resistances, projects, and individualities is to create the space for an event where we can meet. We want this spring to be as black as night in the face of the artificial glow of death
and domination that comes from power.
We think it's the perfect occasion for the flowers of struggle, anarchy, and life to sprout again. We invite you to participate with activities, texts, music, theater, presentations, talks, conversations, graphics, or whatever you like to propose from your territories. May darkness become a refuge and stop representing fear and uncertainty. Let's prepare the ground for this new cycle. Let's sow the seeds of rebellion to harvest the fruits of freedom. Unquote. Report backs, or it did not happen.
Program of International Anarchist Agitation and Culture Fair, March 29th through 31st, from Anon. More info at anarchopunk.org. The program for this vegan, drug, and alcohol-free event, featuring workshops from stove making to history to anti-psychiatry, health, theater, autonomous abortions, squatting, and more. Looks like a good time. Yay for DIY events, especially around healthcare. That was Program of International Anarchist Agitation, etc.
Black Flag, Anarchist Review, Spring 2024, issue now out. From blackflag.org.uk. Articles about past anarchist men and women and a couple anarchist-adjacent men. Someone needed to proofread this piece for simple errors. Moving on. Quote, this year marks the 75th anniversary of Marie-Louise Bernary's untimely death, early death. Untimely death, early death. Untimely,
yeah, see, early death. It needed death. To be fucking proofread, like I said.
And you're just gonna copy and paste the errors. You're gonna copy and paste.
Apparently I am going to do that, because apparently that is what I did.
Apparently. Don't you edit shit?
Sometimes.
Do you have some sort of editing skills?
When I'm trying to make a point, when the point is that some... What were we just talking about Band-Aids? If you put a Band-Aid on, then shit doesn't get fixed.
Quote, this year marks the 75th anniversary of Marie-Louise Bernary's untimely death, early death, due to complications in childbirth. Was a terrible blow to the British and international anarchist movements. The daughter of leading Italian anarchist Camille Bernary, she was a key member of the British anarchist movement in her own right, taking a leading role in Spain and the world, war commentary, and then freedom. We include a selection of her writings, which show why she was so important. Unquote. If any of you thought that anarchy is a vibrant and urgent and exciting tendency with lots to say about current events, Black Flag is here to rectify that.
Greece, Campaign for Legal Expenses of Persecuted Militants, from Anon. Setting of context, which is increasing state and economic repression, and then a list of people, including some anarchists, who are facing trials and need help to pay for their defenses. Quote, assessing that the repression will intensify in the next period, given that the state will be called upon to manage the criminal consequences of the restructuring it imposes, and social resistance will escalate, the needs of our group, as well as of the broader movement, will increase materially, as several activists are already burdened with exorbitant legal expenses of more than 5,000 of euros. This is alongside with the daily needs arising from the political defense of our structures and struggles. Unquote. A Fire Fund page is linked for donations.
Madrid Anarchist Book Fair. The sap is rising. From Occupations and Properties at occuprop.blogspot.com. Occupations and Properties is a blog of an Alan Moore, but not THE Alan Moore. Now you know. This is reflections on recent time in Spain from a guy who writes zines on squatting, available online as PDFs, and who is part of ABC No Rio, a significant anarchist cultural space in New York City that we haven't heard anything about recently. Here he is back in the mix, reflecting on new and hopeful directions for the left in Spain, where people seem to be remembering or learning how important squatted social centers can be. Quote, the general questions around how to go forward with my researches and reportings is somewhat clearer after these two fairs. Writing academic articles does nothing for me. I stopped long ago. I think there's no point in aiming for finished books since there is so little audience and so little response. Still, as with avant-garde art, it's not how many, it's who. Maybe I flatter myself that the House Magic Zine series from 2009 to 2016 helped to animate occupations in the USA during those years of strikes in OWS.
Occupy Wall Street.
I knew that, but I'm just reading what you copy and pasted. Unquote. Nice to hear about old people back at it and always down with squatting projects.
An interview with anarchists in the 48 area from the Commoner. An interview with some humble anarchists in Israel who were facing tremendous odds. And giving some useful context for those of us who are far from there. Like, yes, Fauda is an actual anarchist group. This is a down-to-earth exchange. Good luck to them. There's a couple good comments in the thread.
An Anarchist's Guide to Doom from Transmetropolitan Review. A fun read that mixes a recap of the two recent Dune movies with notes on some anarchist influences for author Frank Herbert Jr., the home and burly anarchist communities, and some personalities therein, a comparison between the recent movies and the books, and more. It makes a compelling argument, as is easier to do when one needn't stick to facts. It is true that facts can be overrated, of course. That was the accurately titled An Anarchist's Guide to Doom.
Anarchist D. Chatzivasiliadis in Solitary Confinement, Act for Freedom Now. Chatzivasiliadis has been transferred to Diavata, rough translation here, but it's clear he's being treated unusually badly by guards. There are no links in English about how to support him.
Mm-hmm. Cardiff, UK. Demo at probation office for Toby Schoen. From Dark Knights. On March 6th, quote, red and black smokies were set off, flyers were distributed inside the probation offices, and people in the street and comrades spoke in support of Toby and demanded his freedom. From this revenge recall and from the whole rotten prison industrial complex, including the probation service. Unquote.
The Herbal Solidarity Project, Resisting State Oppression, from Freedom News UK. Freedom News UK is not just employing a new cultural attaché, but is also starting a biography section called Profiles. This first one is of a plant and animal activist. Quote, following her sentence, she continued to be active and kept herself busy. I've always found it impossible to be single issue because of how interconnected all struggles are, she says. Indeed, campaigns against hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking, and the Badger Call, as well as supporting prisoners, prison abolition collectives, and community food projects are just some of her contributions. Not realizing it at the time, the skills and knowledge she learned in prison not only strengthened this work, but developed into a far-reaching herbal solidarity project that supports revolutionary struggle and helps those experiencing state oppression, unquote. This write-up is again very much in need of proofreading, but aside from that, it's fine. Makes me wonder what Freedom UK is doing here, though. They don't give any frame about who gets to get a profile, but I guess we'll find out.
Patras, Greece. Anarchists smash butcher shop windows. From Unoffensive Animal. Windows smash, but no carcasses defile. While a non-poster who was pleading for better definitions and attempts to actually exchange ideas was obviously beating a dead horse, vegan. I sympathize. Weird thread to make into a hill to die on, though. But anyway, that was so last week. Moving on.
Abolition Media's Authoritarian Entryism, from Anon at Colorado Liberation and Autonomy on Black Blogs. This article attempts to take to task Abolition Media for A, posting stories that are not anarchist or anarchist-friendly, and B, therefore being in the process of becoming an anti-anarchist pro-state forum. Quote, in March 2024, Abolition Media republished a Red Stream Media article about Maoist guerrillas in Colombia. Red Stream Media is a rebrand of Redfish, an English-language subsidiary of the Russian state-controlled propaganda outlet RT. Red Stream regularly praises Stalin and recently published a fawning revisionist history of the Communist Party of Peru, Shining Path, that papers over the Maoist cult's massacres of indigenous peasants, queer people, and women in an attempt to rescue the history that many have tried to censor. Unquote. That kind of paragraph is, to me, entirely unconvincing. It's good to know the connections behind the scenes, but those connections are not the only or sometimes even primary feature of a news story. Other paragraphs in this article, where the author points out that Abolition Media posted stories from suspicious sources and not stories on the same topic from less suspicious, explicitly anarchist sources, that's a more compelling thread as far as I'm concerned. Though there's no info here about whether anyone queried Abolition Media about it, or just noted it down for a future attack. Bottom line, I, for one, am waiting to hear more about this before picking a side, or deciding not to pick a side at all. Just saying.
Obituaries. Tom Walker, Don Quixote of the Living Theater. From Anon. At americantheater.org by Joni H.F. Zosike. If obituaries are the way for people to learn more about the Living Theater, then so be it. American theater is a mainstream site, so you think that a theater author would have a better sense of Quixote, who was charming but deluded. But maybe that's the author taking a dig? Anyway, the Living Theater was amazing, and the people who were in it are worth listening to. Here's what fellow LT'er said about him. Quote, Garrick Beck, Judith Malina's and Julian Beck's son and Tom's contemporary, how could we have done all this without him? From a page boy to aged king, a poet, a player, a prince, even a president. An archivist, an artist, an actor, an anarchist. A kind-hearted, truly humane human being. Brimful with creativity and patience. Let there be beautiful remembrances that bring us joy. Let there be Tom and the ever-living theater of our lives. Unquote.
Audio and video. Audio, audio, audio. Episode 1, Epona Rose. It's a callback to the last podcast, and you just don't get it because you weren't here.
What? I don't listen to it either.
Exactly. Episode 1, Epona Rose from No Spiritual Surrender, 37 minutes. A new podcast, quote, focused on abolition and anarchy, unquote. This episode is an interview with Epona Rose, an anarchist prisoner with trans experience. This term is sort of explained in the podcast. Epona Rose could fit in easily amongst anarchist news readers. The host slash interviewer, whose name is Sova, asks fine, minimalist questions, but presumably will get more comfortable and perhaps more present in future episodes. For me, this interview had times of much jargon and other times of on-point ideas, with some overlap between the two. I look forward to future episodes, and we will just have to get over both recent No Spiritual Surrenders, one being this podcast and the other Klee Benali's book.
Friends of Bushnell Speak, Deep Dive on Haiti. From This Is America on It's Going Down. An hour and 51 minutes. Three or maybe four people who knew and organized with Bushnell talk about their understandings of and relationships with him and their reactions to his immolation and subsequent events. From what I heard, these friends, disappointingly, treat his action only as a sign of a person having a hard time and as an error, as something he should have and could have been talked down from. This take is more understandable coming from his friends than it was coming from CrimeThink, but to me seems both disrespectful and simplistic. First, we all act out of our broken pasts. We all are responding to fucked up situations. None of us are beacons of mental and psychological health, deciding out some perfect space to do the perfect thing. We do the best we can given that reality. Second, no anarchist knows what will make the change we want because so far nothing has. So voices that encourage folks, as CrimeThink explicitly did, to just keep organizing as if that's the answer are full of shit. If I go out by choosing my own time, no matter what the other circumstances are, my friends sure as hell better give me credit for my choice, whether or not they agree with it. That said, some of their criticisms and suggestions are fine. Be nice to our friends and reach out, talk about feelings, don't do purity politics. Online interactions are frequently about shallow and inflammatory competitions, etc. The host was pretty good in this episode. At the end, one of the guests does remind us all that Bushnell was not just guilty, but also an intentional and clear decision. But it's been 40 minutes of that other message. This section ends at about 50 minutes. Then there's someone talking about Haiti, who gives a thumbnail on Haitian events since the recent prime minister assassination. Recently, the acting prime minister refused to leave office, went on a tour, and while he was gone, gangs have taken up the opportunity to stir shit up, including breaking into prisons, etc. The guest here is engaging and knowledgeable. That was This Is America, episode 195. Worth listening to, I am not getting soft.
Hi, everyone. This is Vic.
Madison.
Cam.
And we're doing the topic of the week discussion this time, and it's called The Narrative, and Madison's going to read it.
A speaker in the spotlight, a whisperer in darkness, selling itself in above-board and underhanded ways, whether by truth or lies, the narrative is the same. Authority is in control. The state, able to enforce its laws, keeps order under the constant menace of anarchy. A contrarian call and response is part of the narrative, waiting on tenterhooks for the next official statement. Critical thinking is delegated to fact-checkers, official intermediaries who validate truth and facts. demanding truth from the state as if it were its keeper. That's what they want you to think. Misguided doubt devolves into paranoid conspiracy theories. Ideologically tinted glasses color the entire landscape as enemy terrain, often featuring the state even more heavily in its narrative, inflating the pervasiveness and insidiousness of its imaginary tentacles. A powerless populace cowering under an omniscient hydra. Elsewhere, a tangled mess of a web of relations is neatly explained by an academic mythology of all-powerful megamachines, a genealogy of all-encompassing cosmic horrors, hierarchy, patriarchy, civilization, capitalism, state, empire, global supply chain, military-industrial complex. Authority is served well by illusions of being the true puppeteer of chaos, in place of the underlying unknowing and unknowable acausal phenomena. The narrative connects the dots to trace its imaginary outline like a constellation, a beast projected onto asterisms made up of disconnected astral bodies light years apart. Planets were once perceived as errant wanderers before being locked into predictable orbits by heliocentrism. How can anarchists wrestle their focus away from the centrality of the big bad thing and toward decentralized, ungovernable, chaotic good practices? Can anarchism escape the event horizon of the narrative? How can anarchists foment and foster a multiplicity of stories instead of devoting itself to a revisionism of his story and addressing the narrative? How can anecdotes highlight the statelessness in everyday experiences of worldly and otherworldly affairs? A lot of questions in there.
Yeah.
There's a few. Who wants to start answering the questions?
Well,
I think
go.
Oh.
You?
Go ahead. I always appreciate like the sort of like seeing the state or like power and authority as like not fully in control kind of outlook on things, because that's sort of, that just always has aligned with me, like, because if you see it in fully, if you see the state or like a power is fully in control of like a terrain or a narrative or like your life, then you don't really, you might be less inclined to do stuff against it. And I think I always just think of the state as like something that's seeking to control, and there's actually like competing groups within it that are also like following a similar logic, but like, you know, they don't always succeed. So
yeah, what I am kind of lost in this topic a little bit, because it seems like it's saying a bunch of different things at once, but I'm wondering if it makes sense to start by defining what the big bad thing as the narrative that it's pointing at, because it doesn't define it really. And it sounds like you're pointing to like the all-powerful, all-controlling state as the big bad narrative, and that like poking holes in that is helpful to you, maybe.
Yeah.
But what is like, do we have a agreed upon central big bad thing that we're always thinking about together or like critiquing together, or is that itself some fiction and maybe we're all thinking of different things with some overlaps? Like, how would you, I guess what I'm asking is, how would you define the big bad narrative? Is it that the state has full control, or is there other parts to it, or is it something else?
I think it's talking, like, it mentions hierarchy, patriarchy, civilization, capitalism, yada yada. And I think those are like the big bad things, and those are like interpretations of a certain critique of reality or something. So like, I think that's what it's talking about, but I don't know. I don't know how I would define the big bad thing, because I think it's doesn't control everything. It's a thing that I want to, like, the state is something I want to not exist, and it gets in the way of other possibilities. It doesn't, getting rid of the state doesn't eliminate other thing, doesn't necessarily eliminate other problems, but it allows us to be freer to like figure out how to solve them differently or whatever.
Hmm. So is the narrative then that the state controls everything, and that, and then the anarchist kind of vision of a different narrative is that if you get rid of the state, everything would be okay? Or like you would be creating some utopian situation if the state was just gone?
You talking to me? You talking to everybody else?
Everyone, including myself, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you, and I think that part of the narrative of the state is that it has full control. Like, I'm in agreement, and I think that's like part of the
I mean, it's part of the panopticon, like, effect, right? Which I think is true. And it's also a narrative that is repeated through different radical lineages that, like, COINTELPRO destroyed all the movements of the 60s, which I think is both true and it isn't at the same time. And it's kind of the continued march forward of technological surveillance and that things are not really possible anymore and that the state is constantly more capable of surveillance, which, like, both is true. And clearly people are getting away with a lot all over the world. And I agree that it's, like, basically propaganda to keep us from trying to do anything.
What do you think this means? Authority is served well by illusions of being the true puppeteer of chaos in place of the underlying unknowing and unknowable acausal phenomena.
I think it's a different way of saying what we've just been saying.
Yeah.
That's how, I mean, at least that's how I understand it.
Yeah, it's sort of, I guess it reminds me of, like, maybe it's like QAnon people are, like, really into, like anything that goes against their, like, maybe they have a prediction, but then it changes. And then they're like, okay, the state actually, you know, knew that we were going to think that. And now it's doing this. And now, you know, it understands, like, it's like a closed system for them. Like, no matter if they are wrong, like, they're always right in this conspiracy theory. And the state is, like, self-aware of that or something.
Well, it's, like, amorphous enough to absorb everything, both things, the state and the conspiracy theory or whatever.
Also makes me think of, like, there was a lot of conspiracy theories where I live about, like, Ferguson activists being murdered by the police or being, like, you know, surveilled or whatever. And, you know, it's like having lived in this area for so long, like, this place is a, like, you know, is a place full of, like, trauma and like a certain, like, a pretty big amount of violence and, like, interpersonal violence. And, like, there are people that who are involved in 2014, and they, you know, there's a man who, like, had his photo taken throwing a tear gas canister back with, like, he had a bag of chips in his hand and, like, an American flag t-shirt, and he, like, ended up dead. But if you were, like, to talk to his, like, you know, hearing from his family, like, he was really depressed, and, like, but if you talk to the activists, he was, you know, murdered by the state, and he, like, or sorry, if you talk to his family, he was really depressed and he, like, committed suicide. But if you talk to, like, activists, like, the narrative is that, like, he was actually literally murdered by, like, some state actor. And I think that that kind of narrative allows for people to not focus on, like, the deeper, more intense sort of psychological ways that power and control, like, and, like, living in this sort of shit world, like, affects us and how it affects us interpersonally. Like, you know, there's, like, a disbelief that somebody would, like, take their life, and, like, it has all the, like, this guy has all this sort of signifiers, like, he has a photo of him, like, he was, like, interviewed in the media, so, like, well, of course he would be, like, subdued or, like, repressed or killed. But to me, the real conspiracy is, like, living in this world and, like, having to, like, interact with work or, like, you know, age-old beefs that you have with people or whatever, or guns. And so, like, it, to me, that this sort of, this topic sort of fits with that, like, feeling that I have of just, like, it's more complicated and more, like, it's harder to confront that than it is to confront, like, a narrative that's easy of a big bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the problem with the narrative thing as used by activists or revolutionaries or whatever is that this kind of thing happens where maybe I'll use we also, I don't know, people use a certain framing that fits the kind of the vision that they're going for. So, like, if the idea is to make the police look like bloodthirsty, powerful conspirators against the freedom-loving insurrectionaries or whatever, then this story that you're telling fits that really well. And it would make a lot of people more upset and more likely to, like, continue the uprising. But it might also just not really be true. So I guess, yeah, I'm actually more interested in talking about what this kind of story is, like us doing it to ourselves, or maybe not us, but like people that are in proximity to things we're trying to do, being really good at crafting narratives in order to push things in a direction that feels favorable to them. Because this, yeah, I don't know, the state narratives feel kind of simple to me or something. I don't know. I just don't, it's feels kind of clear cut. I just don't listen to them. Like, why would I listen to the narratives of my enemies? Maybe the narratives created by people that are either not my enemies or not as clearly my enemies is like more important to pay attention to.
Is that true though? I mean, I feel like unlearning is a lot harder than learning. And so there's narratives that we've had, you know, listing all of this hierarchy, patriarchy, civilization, capitalism, where what you just said made me think about narrative therapy. And
I don't know what that is.
Narrative therapy is where you, I think, I hope to be corrected in the comments later if I'm wrong, but I'm sure I will be.
Even if you're not wrong.
I'm pretty sure it's you just say a different ending, like you had a different experience, and eventually your brain absorbs around that, and it is healing. Like maybe the point isn't that you adopt the new story, but it's that the story changes how you view the event or something, or like you reassure the part of yourself that was scared, or it's often done around trauma. And I think narrative is a tool, and we use it all the time. Right. Even when Cam was telling that story, my mind went to like, well, arguably the big bad thing did kill that person because
absolutely
they're depressed. They're alienated. They're repressed. Like, there's racism, like all of these things that make life intolerable to people or you know, hard. And so I reformed the narrative, and I think we're doing that all the time. All of us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's just, the thing about the narrative as used by political factions, I think, is it simplifies the thing
right
into something that's really just easily digestible. And it kind of, I mean, I think it kind of actually just makes everyone stupider. You know what I mean? Like, because it's true. Like, it's not like, yeah, I don't know. It's not like, I agree with both of you. I think the big bad thing did kill this person, even if they killed themselves.
Yeah.
But that is more complicated than like a literal big bad guy coming to this person's house and killing them, you know?
Right. Well, that's what Cam was saying.
Yeah. So we're totally in agreement, but I think like part of the way these narratives work is just like it changes the thing into more easily understood, because it kind of assumes, maybe wrongly, maybe not, that like the kind of general population or the least common denominator of the audience can only understand.